Hello everyone, I'm Peter Melnick and welcome to MOVE. What is MOVE? MOVE is a podcast in which I have conversations with people from a wide variety of professions, and they tell me the stories of why they're so passionate about what it is they do. What kind of people are welcome on MOVE? As long as you love what it is that you do and are not hurting anyone, you're welcome on the show. Teachers, politicians, artists, actors, musicians, the possibilities are endless. Just tell us what it is that moves you. Now, before we start today's show, you can find us on all sorts of social media. You can go on facebook.com/movepod. You can go on Twitter and follow us @movepodcast and myself @PeterMelnick. You can also find this show on all Android and iOS devices with the Podomatic and Stitcher radio apps. Once again, available for all iOS and Android devices. So if you got an iPhone or an Android phone, we got you covered. So now on to today's show. So I had the opportunity and the pleasure of having a conversation with the indie rock group Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, if you didn't see the spelling up top. You know, an absolute pleasure from beginning to end with Tom, Jason, and Corey, just a real fun time, and you can tell with the conversation. And not just those three guys, but also their road manager, Anthony, who I've known for a very long time and actually set me up with this interview. We've gone way back. Just an absolute fun time, and once again, it really, really shows throughout the interview. And, you know, even afterwards, we ended up going to barbecue, you know, with some of the band's family, and just, you know, fun time. Again, I keep using that word, but really, it was. Like, there was just, I'll be honest, editing this show was a blast. This was, once again, it's going to be a little bit of a spoiler for later on in the show, but this episode was really fweet, you know? So, just absolutely fweet. And that's not a verbal slip on my behalf. You'll hear it on the show. So anyway, also, on top of this episode, you're going to be getting a little bit of a set afterwards with the group at the end. So we have some of their music playing, and I highly recommend going on their Facebook page, and also just, you know, spread the word. These guys are really good, and, you know, I love their stuff, and I hope to see big things come out of these gentlemen. So, now, on to the show. Alright, so I am joined right now with indie rock group Griffin. Guys, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Pleasure to be here.
You're Corey.
Yeah.
You're Tom. You're Jay.
Yes.
And you're also the road manager, Anthony.
Road manager. Road manager. Logistics.
Yell, Anthony, yell. Alright, that's good. So,
these logistics.
First off, man, how'd you guys get together?
We first started playing.
Go back to the brothers.
Yeah, me and my brother, we started playing music when we were younger together. And probably, I don't know, 10th grade maybe,
yeah.
I think we started. We started a band in high school called Ignitus, and so that was pretty fun. And then we went to college, and sort of our music writing was on the back burner through that. And then after college, Anthony introduced us to Tom, because they were just friends. They went to school together at St. Rose. So we all started playing the music together, and then we all moved out to Denver.
What's, like, the songwriting process like with you guys?
Mostly, I write most of the songs, or, yeah, most of them. Everybody else sort of puts their little sense in and stuff like that, see how it could come together a little better. But I basically just, I have a looping pedal, so I just loop things over and over and over again and just write different parts to something and see what sounds good, and when there's something I like, I keep that.
I'd say, like, you keep, like, you lay down, like, a base of many layers of loops on your little boss looper there, and then you can create your verse and chorus over that. And then, you know, when the time comes, we get together with the band, Jay and I, and we just kind of write our own parts, really, on top of it. It's very organic.
You know what they said.
Now, music-wise, what's, like, your favorite, like, each of you, what's, like, your favorite style that, you know, has been an influence on what you guys do?
Mostly punk rock.
Punk rock?
That's what we grew up on, or that's what me and Jay grew up on.
Any particular favorites?
The Lawrence Arms are my favorite punk band. currently, at least. It changes every couple of years. But then, you know, like, I got it really into, like southern folk music. So that's in there. A lot of Lucero. I like Lucero a lot. And, yeah, just bands like that. Punk or folk punk or folk rock. rock and folk. That's pretty much it for me. How about you, Tom?
Oh. As a youngster, I always dug Elton John.
Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza?
Yeah, absolutely. Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza.
How close do you think he was held? Like, how close?
Oh,
like,
very
comfortable levels?
He was laid down in sheets of linen, you know.
But were those linen sheets washed, were there many, many uses for these linen sheets?
Well, you know, the thread count on those puppies must have been really high, you know, Elton
if they
John.
Could tell a story.
Each thread would tell a story.
Just pick up a pair on eBay, Elton John's used linens. No, yeah, Elton John is good. I like Elton John. He's probably one of my big ones. Ween, of course, for me. Ween encompasses many different genres, as some will know. David Byrne. Talking Heads, one of my favorites. Very influential. That's it for me. Here's Che's influences.
I grew up on punk rock with my brother. We used to have a punk trio as well, and his favorite band was Lawrence Arms. Mine was Against Me, and our bassist was None More Black. So we kind of made a band that sounded like all three.
Through connection-wise, I know I got through you guys through Anthony, and I've known Against Me through Anthony for, like, you know, almost 10 years now, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, we used to play cover songs. Our Against Me cover band was called Raw Dog.
Nice, nice.
Dog is war. Raw is dog. I am dog. We are war. Yeah, but for Griffin, it's mostly just like writing music over what Corey writes, which has gotten significantly mellower over the years. He's mellowed out when it comes to punk rocking, at least. So,
have you guys like seen like an evolution in like your musical styles like since you know the beginning? Like,
oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
Like the. Give me, like, an example, like, what the earlier stuff sounded like, you know, versus now.
Well, when Corey started, it used to be, like, folk punk, just him and his guitar. Now, like, with a full band, it's not so lo-fi, I guess.
Yeah, there's, like, the additions and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, but it's also gotten, like, a lot more airy and, like, very, very flowy. It's real nice.
Airy and flow.
Airy, yeah.
Air and flow.
Keep it air. Keep it flow. But it's, I don't know. It's good.
Now, you guys do a lot of touring, and today you guys are actually performing in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is going to be recorded a week later. Where did you guys perform, I guess? Technically, we're like the backwards-ass time travel a little bit.
So, we did two nights in Buffalo.
How were those?
Great.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep, they were loud. And then we went to Utica, had a few days off in Albany where we went to the studio and did some cool stuff with vocals and some interesting amplifications.
How was that?
It was strange. I don't know. Corey can talk more about that one.
Yeah, we our friends have a really cool Leslie cabinet, which is like an organ amp, I guess you could say, an organ speaker. Rotary speaker. But so we use that for a lot of stuff. Through the guitar, though. We recorded guitar on it. So it's got a really cool sound. And, yeah, just to finish up the vocals for our album.
When is that going to drop?
Unknown. Hopefully soon. Yeah.
Are you guys going for, like, a physical release or digital? Or both?
Both. Yeah,
very
both
cool.
Physical and digital.
Have you guys contemplated 8-track at all?
No. We've contemplated cassette tape. but if, not 8-track.
If I were you guys to milk this for all it's worth, it release individual tracks on a CD and then do like the Time Life releases, where it's like, you know, you pay $20 and, you know, $25 down or something. It's like monthly payments, and like you get every month a new release album. Oh. So why not milk it for all it's worth?
Yeah, right.
It's a terrible idea, isn't it?
You get one track every 2 years.
Now, with the whole studio atmosphere, any interesting stories so far, you know, during the whole process lately with the album?
Mostly it's just my brother's always yelling at something as loud as he can with the music that's going on. So we're using the Leslie cabinet, and they're normally like heavily used in like Baptist churches.
Right.
Where they're, you know, a little more musically heavy with an organ. And so Jay was just yelling, "Hallelujah!" as loud as he can for like 5 minutes. It's pretty funny. But so that made me chuckle a lot.
Studio, well, we started recording the album back, no, not 2 years ago, maybe, but maybe last winter, two winters ago, was our first time in the studio for this album, and we laid down most of the instrumentals at Centurion Sound Studios in Valley Falls, just maybe about an hour north of Albany, and then we tracked some vocals maybe 4 or 5 months after that at Centurion again, and then just this past weekend at Live Sound Inc. in Brunswick, New York. Our good friends, Mike Hickey and Greg Austin, helping us out. Pretty cool. But the album should be out. We're holding on to it, sending it out to some labels, and seeing what we can get for it. But I would say late fall, early winter is the best time frame I can give anybody at the current moment in time.
Jay, how about you? Any stories with the studio?
Not. I don't know. I just know we've been eating chicken wings and pizza for the past 10 days.
Is that a major part of the creative process with this?
Yeah. Major part of my gut's creative process. all the sights and sounds and smells of that.
There won't be any songs written about this, right?
No, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, metaphorically. Yeah, the smell of buffalo winters. I don't know. whatever Corey can think of, I guess.
I would like to add that this past weekend there was no plumbing at our establishment of recording, so we needed to use an incinerator toilet. And just for everybody out there who doesn't know what that is,
I kind of can get a sense with the word incinerator in there.
Yeah, well, sitting down on this metal box, basically, with a toilet seat attached to it, and it's got this little, you know, trap door in the bottom, and you take these wax paper, you know, baggies. I've been calling them French fry holders, you know, all weekend. You know, you go to a baseball game, and you get, like, a tray of French fries, and you line the pan of this toilet.
You take it out to the ball game.
And we are definitely taking it out to the ball game.
Get it some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, you know, just treat
yes,
it right.
Peanuts
nice.
And Cracker Jacks are falling below you, and you then have to push a little switch in which the excrement falls below you into a little hole. You close the lid and push a button, and then you...
It's jettisoned off into space.
...are engulfed in the smoke of your own fecal matter. Smoldering below you. So that's been an interesting bathroom experience after what we've been eating this past week.
So once again, there won't be any songs related to burning fecal matter, correct?
No. Well, we already have a song called "And It's Burning," so maybe we can.
Not
yeah. Yeah, it's more about Corey's burning emotions, man.
Thanks, Jay.
Oh boy.
Now in regards to the songs you guys have been writing, with the newer stuff, like, could you give like maybe a little bit of a sample of like what the audience is going to be getting with the new album, like, you know, types of songs and whatnot?
They're going to be much more spacey, I guess. A lot more, yeah, like a lot more spatial effects, a lot of reverb, delay, that kind of stuff. Sounds that make you think when you hear them.
And once again, to go back to it, no songs, you're not thinking of Fecal Matter.
No. No Fecal Matter songs.
Sounds good. How about
just yet.
Oh, well.
The Corey's new material is very spacey, I guess is the best term for it. But, like, sonically, lately, like, there's been this whole rebirth of the 80s sound, you know, like 80s digital reverb and delay and stuff. A lot of hip and trendy bands have been using that. And it's, I guess, no secret that we're following suit with...
not purposely.
No. But yeah, it sounds... yeah, it's very... The new songs we're writing are very reminiscent of, I'd say, like the Wild Beasts out of the UK, or Woodsmen. They're a Brooklyn-based band. Very loop-heavy stuff. but this album, this current one that we're doing, is it really runs east to west across the genres. We have a couple hard punk rockin' songs, you know, a couple rootin' tootin' country songs, some gentler acoustic maybe oriented songs.
Who are the influences for like those kind?
Oh, geez.
Especially the country rootin' tootin' ones. I kind of want to.
The
rootin'
tootins. Lucero, yeah. The old crow. Here.
A lot of Lucero, or at least for the rootin' tootin' ones. The one song I was listening to Grizzly Bear a lot for like a week and a half. So I was like, I'm gonna write a song that sounds like this. but the song that I wrote really doesn't sound like Grizzly Bear at all. Yeah, a lot of Andrew Bird. He's one of my main influences too.
He's good at whistling. I like his whistling.
Yeah, particularly because he uses a lot of loops. I think he has like four or five on stage, like looping machines. So that's a real big influence on these songs in particular, because a lot of them are loop heavy with, you know, just a little overdub set I play. So yeah, that's mostly it. Andrew Bird and Lucero for this album. And Grizzly Bear for a week. You know? Yeah. What about your influences, Jay?
How does this album sound to you?
My influences are Corey Lubineski. He,
that is delightful.
His influence has been huge. Huge. No, for a lot of the like newer songs and older songs even, they don't like really call for super extravagant drum playing. You know, I'm not going to try to go out and be like Neil Peart or anybody like that. But
no living in the limelight?
Nope.
Living in the limelight.
No. I guess a lot of the things would kind of be like reminiscent of like LCD Sound System. It's just very simple kind of dance beats, which are really nice, and some other kind of flary things. But
what band will you be having playing in your house? What band will you be having play in your house?
Hot Natured.
That's delightful. So Hot Natured will be playing in your house.
In my house. In my house. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get real deep. My roommate listens to a lot of like French house music, and he's been getting me into that, which is pretty good. So
so I'm guessing that's been leaking into the music.
Like, yeah, it's like it's really good. At least like drum wise, it's pretty simple, but it sounds good.
Now, how long have you guys been doing, you know, concerts and whatnot?
We've been doing shows since like high school, but the three of us and with Anthony, we've been playing around. We all got together in Buffalo, so we were playing shows around Buffalo for a couple of years.
What were the first like collective shows like? like individually especially?
They were fun, mostly just in front of our friends, yeah, in our basement, at our at our old house we used to live in. But I mean, I always enjoyed playing them and playing the songs that we wrote together, and fucking Transcendental.
You know. Getting out to the shows on the clubs, though, or in the clubs, I don't know, can always be a little bit of a hassle sometimes. Sometimes it can be really smooth. Like last night, we had this sound guy who was really rough around the edges, wouldn't you say, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's always little obstacles you have to jump over. But, you know, when you're doing it just about every night, or, you know, you kind of fall into a routine and you kind of overcome this weird barrier of, like, nerves and, I don't know, little obstacles with technical difficulties and whatever. The show must go on, as they say. And we always break our legs, so...
My legs are perfectly fine for now.
You've got nice dancer's legs. I got to, you know, I got to give that to you.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
It's a lot of bike riding. yeah, no, I like playing out live. It's sweet.
It's sweet.
Fuck you. No.
Was that word just invented for the show just now? Tremendous.
Trademark, Jason Lubineski Incorporated.
It'll be on Urban Dictionary before the this interview's over.
Fweet.
Spell that.
No,
for me.
Phweet. Fweet.
Tremendous.
Yeah. Fweet bread. no, the one thing I always have trouble with all the new songs, all these loops are specifically timed. So, once we started playing like live and stuff, like we just kind of plug. I have a pair of headphones that I plug into Corey's soundboard, so everything's on time. But usually, like if we don't have that, you know, when we used to play with our old bands, every set would be super fast. So we'd like get on stage and play, you know, half hour worth of music in 15 minutes, and be like, "Thanks for coming out. We'll see you tomorrow." But it's a lot easier to play, like, you know, at the, you know, the tempo of the song after, you know, doing it for the past year or so. And it's just...
What is the whole, like, experience like going up there? Like, for somebody who doesn't, you know, perform in front of crowds, like, what is that experience like? That's, like, for someone who's got a borderline sense of stage fright, yet it kind of does, like, things like podcasting... I would be scared shitless to do that.
Yeah, but when you do this, you're the man behind the curtain.
A little bit, yeah.
It's weird, mostly because it's awkward making eye contact with people in a room, especially if there aren't very many people. So you're just kind of looking around, and you can see everybody's facial expressions, like, that guy's not really digging it, and like, he kind of likes it. Oh, those girls are kind of moving. That's just nice.
It's all about trying to win them over, though. Like, the ones who aren't, like, that much into it, you know?
Yeah. Well, luckily, as a drummer, I don't really have to get up in anybody's face or anything. So, I usually just look at the ground when I play drums. Down and to the left is where I look. And then...
Yep.
But, yeah, no. Being in the background, it's nice.
That's not living in the limelight.
No, nope. Not at all.
It's maybe like a light shade of green, like not quite lime. It's there.
It's a grayish tone, grayish hue. Yeah. Overcoming stage fright is very hard to do. I mean, you just gotta keep doing it, and then you'll get used to it.
That's how you overcome it, despite and keep doing it.
Yeah,
makes sense.
And you know. Most people are afraid because they feel like, I mean, people are judging you, but you don't think about that. How they feel is how they feel, and you know, they're not the ones up there doing it, you are. So, but yeah, just keep doing it. That's how I've gotten over it. I mean, I still get, you know, I get butterflies before every show, and every time I play in front of people, But you just get used to it, and once you're up there, and once things start going, it all goes away. Even if you mess up, you know, it's just gonna happen. It's part of the show. it's part of playing music. So,
well, we've been playing so many times as of recently that we don't even write set lists or not really that much anymore. You know, we just kind of get on stage and it's like practice. You know, we just kind of call out songs and we play our hour 20 or whatever it is and be on our merry way.
What's the longest set you guys have done?
6 hours. Yeah, that was last year. Last 4th of July, actually. 6 hour set list. But, you know, live, it's just the three of us, drums, bass, and guitar. And if and when, you know, the listeners out there in the great nation of America listen to our album, they'll know that there's like a lot more than three separate musicians going on. So we have this looper, and we take all the extra tracks that we don't perform live off the album. We put them on the looper, and it really fills out our live sound a lot. There's a few tunes. We have a catchy old little retro drum machine. We have some acoustic guitar looping going on and some cool harmonics and some beatkeepers and stuff like that.
Beatkeepers?
Yeah, you know, drum machines and beats and like shakers and tambourines and cowbells and things like that. Percussion, random assorted.
I'll be honest, I'm just imagining a man in a beekeeper outfit, like just
beekeeper,
running.
Beekeeper, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That's Bert, man. Bert's beat. Bert's beat.
This is Bert's bees.
Bert's bees, Bert's beats.
Now, with the live shows, like, you guys do covers at all?
We do a few covers.
What's some of your favorite covers you guys have done?
Well, Jay was mentioning LCD Sound System. We do North American Scum. It's we take it to the chopping block, yes. We do All for the Best, which is a Miracle Legion song made famous by Tom York of Radiohead. There's a little bit of confusion there on occasion. One of my favorites, I always like Wild Ride by Instant Death. The legend Dave Drywitz and Scotty Byrne, my favorite bass player. And actually, no, it was I was just reading, today is the 10th anniversary of Scotty's death. Bummer, we got to play that tonight. Wild Ride for Scotty Byrne.
Here you go. I like Wild Ride because I get to do a drum solo.
Nice. And
listen to everybody go,
woo!
Afterwards. Yeah. Yep. Living in the limelight. Rush is variety. Okay. But yeah, no, that's a fun one. I don't know. Everybody, it's weird. We our first show we played at Mr. Good Bar in Buffalo. One of our friends was talking to the drummer of the previous band, and like when we got up, they played, you know, their classic '90s rock and roll hits, you know, radio hits all night, two bands straight, and then we get up and all play all original songs, and the drummer was like, "Oh, I can't believe they played all original songs. That's crazy." Yeah, and we played like two covers at the end of that, but by then it was like 2:30 in the morning, so. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how like unreceptive people choose to be to original music when it's just like, can you play that one Weezer song? Like, you know, the entire Pinkerton album was played in the night by two different bands because they all played different songs from that album. It was just like, okay, guys, we get it. Yeah, everybody here grew up in the 90s, but
there needs to be like a broad variety, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously they're playing a bar. It's not a venue, you know, so people want to be entertained, but I don't know. It's just kind of annoying.
As a band, have you gotten Freebird yet? Have you?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Tom calls out Freebird sometimes, too.
I call it out from onstage.
Yeah. Freebird's No Stairway to Heaven, you know. Just the classic, pretty much those two songs. That's the only thing that everybody ever yells out.
Hecklers.
Yeah.
Get off the stage.
There's one band out there that they respond back to people who yell Freebird. I forgot the name of the band that does it, but they'll say, "We're not going to play that. What we're going to you guys have to yell, 'It's Raining Men.'" And when the people yell that, they just say back, "We don't know how to play that. Why are you yelling that at us?" So
stop yelling at us.
Oh, yeah, I got a new slide, a nice brass slide. I can whip it out and... you know, and people will lose their fucking shit. And then we'll be famous. A famous Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band.
The over 50 Darn it, Jimmy Johnson wants to have to record
this. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Must be so weird being like a band that old and then still having people be like, "Play Freebird, it's my favorite song. It was my favorite song 40 years ago too." Oh, yeah. You know, like to have to play that same song over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah.
Linking back to another band, it's like the Hotel California, you know.
Yeah, fucking Eagles, man. I mean, just any band, like, you know, you come out with one rockin' hit in, you know, your first album, and then everybody expects you to play that hit.
Essentially,
every single time you play,
it's borderline like a one-hit wonder when you think about it, but it's not, because they have this whole back catalog, but there's that one song that they're primarily known for.
Yeah, exactly.
Billy Joel and the Piano Man. I can't imagine like what goes through that guy's head when he has to sing that song. He probably wants to kill himself.
I know he like that New York State of Mind, and it's like it's. And I know the one song a lot of people have been asking him to play a lot is, what's it called? We Didn't Start the Fire. And he fucking despises that song.
Oh, man,
he's
that's
like, it's the
best
worst song he ever wrote in his life.
That's a great song. Well, the heads, or the Tom Tom Club, Tina Weymouth and Chris Franz, they always said, "We were so thankful that we wrote Genius of Love because it put our kids through college. Like, we love playing that song." That's their moneymaker. Yeah,
hopefully we'll have one of those songs. Eventually.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would love to be able to pay off my college debt with the song I wrote.
Now,
if you want to throw out the merch on our website.
Yeah, we are definitely going to be getting into plugs later on. One thing with the whole live experience, like you guys traveled from Colorado to get here, right?
Yeah.
So... one of the things is like any road stories, like, you know, with like honestly with the whole career so far, like, you know, crazy road stories, stuff like that. I hear Anthony in the background.
Anthony's got one.
What is that?
Oh, he's walking away. Maybe he won't tell it.
No, I can't tell it. You
got to. It doesn't involve like the statute of limitations, does it?
Oh yeah, yeah, we got it.
So when we first moved out to Denver. Or when Tom and Corey, I've been there for about 3 years, but when Tom and Corey moved out last August, Anthony came out and took a visit, and we were going to go shoot some like band promo shots. So Tom wanted us to go up to, what's it, Elton John? It's called Caribou, Colorado.
Where you said it was Elton John, Colorado.
No. Like Elton John recorded a lot of his albums at this studio up in Caribou Ranch in Colorado. So we decided to drive up one morning, and on the way up, it started dumping snow. And it was like, you know, it was like a nice day before. So it was like 60 degrees, and then, it, you know, temperature plummets, and then it starts snowing. So all the snow, like, froze onto the roads.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
As we were coming back, coming down, Boulder Canyon. We hit a turn and spun out and crashed into a cliff and totaled my Subaru.
God damn.
Yeah. Luckily, we were able to drive back down, finish the trip. But, like, that whole road was just, they were, like, fucking littered with cars because it was such, like, the conditions were so bad. But, yeah. So that was a bummer. Had to scrap her.
That sucks.
Yep. Haven't had a car since.
Oh.
Luckily, Corey got one, so that's what we're driving now. Yeah.
The Griffin Mobile, it's going to have decals on the side, right?
We've got stickers on the back. We're going to get a full body wrap. we were going to have Exhibit pimp it out.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
whenever
we built a stage in your van.
I heard you like performing.
That was great.
Yeah, right.
Put a recording studio in your car.
That would be pretty cool. That would work out.
How about with you? Any crazy stories?
I almost got hit by a middle-aged Nebraskan farmer on his cell phone on the way here, crossing the street for gas. That's about as hairy as it got on the way here. You know, didn't see many troopers, you know. Keeping it cool, a cool 65 down the freeway, you know.
Obeying
all the laws of every state at all times. No marijuana was smoked.
Yeah, no, it's ever since the pot became like legal in Colorado, they've been cracking down. A bunch of states are like suing Colorado for all the manpower.
Really?
People trying to smuggle dope out. So yeah, we don't want to take any chances, but we also, you know, drove 30 hours straight to get to Buffalo on time, which for some reason we do every time we drive to Colorado or you know, back and forth. But I don't know, it's a lot of bad sleeping.
I can only imagine.
Trail mix.
Ginger what kind ale. Of trail mix?
I prefer the nuts and berries with craisins.
Delightful.
Yeah. If you get chocolate, you get too addicted to the chocolate, and then you just end up buying chocolate the next rest stop. You gotta.
Yeah, that's like the effect of like a lot of the sugars and whatnot.
Yep. Same thing happens with chicken wings. If you get one chicken wing, you have to eat 200 of them.
It is scientifically proven. There are studies out there that, you know.
It's bullshit. Fucking.
We took advantage of the buffalo chicken wings while we were in town, for sure. I don't know how many we ate collectively, but I don't want to divulge that information. We'll keep that between us.
Now, with like the after the show, like what is that scene like? Like the parties, and also, you know, just I imagine like the whole driving back afterwards. I don't know.
It's exhausting. Especially after you've partied so fucking hard that you can't even walk. No. after the show, it's mostly just, you know, chit-chatting with some people who are at the venue and with the owner. Yeah, selling our merchandise. T-shirts, posters, CDs, and whatnot. Christmas cards.
Now, where can
cards.
You get those things, by the way?
You can come to one of our shows and purchase one. Or... you can go to thisisgriffin.com, and we have a merch link where you can order them online. We could write you a personal note if you request one, or something like that. I could say, hey, thanks.
That is personal.
Yeah. 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 But after the shows, it's mostly just farting around, and then we pack all our stuff up and go home and try to go sleep. Because
how long does like the adrenaline rush from like being on the stage last? Because I imagine it's there for a little while.
Yeah, it. Normally, we start off with one of our like more rockin' songs most of the time, and that one always gets me psyched up. But I get too psyched up, and then I'm like tired after playing that song. I'm like, shit, still got another hour left. So you just gotta pace yourself, really. Some songs you can really, you know, move around, jump around. Some songs you just gotta take it slow.
With the set list, have you guys got like gotten it down to like a science yet? Like where, you know, figuring out where like the highs, like, you know.
We try to mix it up, you know, fast slow, fast slow, that kind of stuff. You know, we always like to end it on a fun note, though.
Just like love making.
And but we don't particularly have a science yet.
No, we have a few songs. We have a few songs that go in a certain spots, but then we can kind of fill in the blanks. Like we'll do like mini sets within a set. You know, we'll do like a set of two or three a little heavier, louder tunes, and then we'll do a couple gentler tunes, and you know, we'll do our some of our covers towards the end of our set. And keep the energy up, definitely towards the end. Keep people dancing, moving, and shaking. Yeah, that's right. Do you have anything to add, Jay? No?
Now going back to covers, have like there been any songs that you guys want to incorporate into your set list down the line?
Yeah. We always try and cycle them through. Like, I think maybe the ones we're doing now might be getting a little bit old, so we'll bring in some new ones. I've been getting into Joy Division lately. I think that might be one of the...
Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Exactly. I love that song. That's such a great song.
Anthony and I actually both have a mutual friend. I was hanging out with him like a week ago, and he lost his he couldn't find like a napkin. He was eating a Chipotle. He had a Joy Division shirt sitting in the back seat.
Oh.
He grabbed it, used it as a napkin.
Oh, my God. Sacrilege.
No.
Oh, man.
He had no napkins whatsoever.
Bummer, man. I'd sacrifice a sock before a Joy Division shirt.
Well, in the interest of fairness, it was purchased at a Hot Topic, so, you know, there's a little bit. Because now the underground is mainstream.
It's hard. It's hard to get those authentic Joy Division shirts now if you, you know, don't go on eBay or hang out, have cool parents.
Hey, Ma, can I borrow your Joy Division shirt? I want to look cool when I go see Kid Rock tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally our covers, we sort of go by the rule that you can't play a cover of a song that, you know, like, I think we have like a 7-year cutoff. The band has to be not active for 7 years, and then we'll consider playing a cover of their song. Something like that.
So you'll never have a Donnie and Murray song in there whatsoever?
No. No, there will be no Kid Rock. no Kid Rock covers.
So there's actually a Kid Rock concert going on tonight, and I think that's part of why he's being so frequently mentioned. Not just that, but like this is the second week in a row I'm going to mention it. The absurdity of the pairing of what he's doing this year. It's him pairing up with Foreigner. Because it makes no
Foreigner's
fucking
opening
sense.
For Kid Rock. Rock and Roll Legends opening up for this.
For the ball with a ball guy.
Ball with a ball, the bang to bang.
Diggy diggy.
Diggy, diggy. Said the boogie, said jump the boogie. Something like that.
In the modern times, he is a rock and roll legend too. Unfortunately. Yeah, in 20 years, I'm going to be like, who the fuck is Kid Rock?
Oh, it's the ball with a ball with bang a dang, diggy diggy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure, you know, people in the South really like Kid Rock. But
even though he's from Detroit?
Yeah. You know. Well, yeah. The one cool thing is I heard he was only, like, for all of his concerts, because everybody's, like, you know, paying $80 a ticket. All like, his show tickets are only $24.
Yeah, and it's like he's lowering like the price of alcohol and stuff like that, so you know people can get drunk and fight security guards easier. Exactly. So, true story.
Shit.
Where we live, there's like this venue. There's this venue near us, and the first time he performed, the security guards actually got the shit beaten out of them by people who were at the show
at
the Kid Rock show. The first time he was there, and they Bethel Woods,
yeah,
and they brought him back two more times. Apparently because they want to make it, you know, a best 2 out of 3 fighting the security guards. Yeah.
Security guards been training all year long for this show.
Clearly, it truly is their WrestleMania where they're just going to go off and fight these people.
They set up a bunch of, they set up a bunch of cage matches around. $24 brings you to the Kid Rock Rock and Roll and Sideshow. That's crazy. I didn't know that. That's really funny. But I think it's cool that he's doing that.
Now,
I hate spending that much money on concert tickets.
It's true. Like, I mean, most of my shows I've managed to luck out winning tickets, but, you know, it's the insanity. Like, you know, especially the going to a major concert and you have to, you know, buy the tickets like a StubHub site, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. Like even the cheap ones.
It's insane. Like, if a show sells out, like, fast, like, for example, LCD Sound System did MSG.
Woo-wee!
And it killed. It was like the final show they did, and like tickets, they actually got scalped so fast. He decided to do a show at Terminal 5 like 2 nights in a row because he didn't want the people who missed out, you know, he wanted them to go to the show, and I think he sold them at the door.
Oh, yeah, nice.
He might have done it at the door. I don't know, but he was nice like that.
I saw when I first started listening to LCD Sound System, they put that Shut Up and Play the Hits documentary up on Netflix, and
yeah,
it fucking blew my mind. And I was like, I got to get a time machine. Go back to that show.
I'll just build one.
How about you? How would you create your time machine?
Tom? How would I create it?
Yeah, how?
I don't know how I would create it. I'd have to talk to Art Bell about that one.
Oh, God. Coast to coast. Across the
world. I love that show. We listen to that all through the night from Denver.
Learning about Mel's Hole. I'll be honest, I did not expect an Art Bell reference on this show today. That just came out of fucking left field.
Oh, man. Time travel. We just kind of call him up. I'm sure he knows.
I'm sorry. I'm just so blown away from the random Art Bell reference.
You don't know Tom. Yeah.
Mike, going back to the whole batshit crazy concept of Kid Rock, having a Foreigner open for him. You guys have done shows before. What is the most out there thing you've seen open for another band? Like, completely different style clash, kind of?
Oh, well, our Buffalo show, for sure. Two pop punk bands opening for us, and then, we get to grace the stage with our little 808 drum machine and tambourines.
How was the audience reaction to that?
Well, luckily we had a little bit of a draw in Buffalo, so...
That's cool.
We had a little crowd out dancing, and, we sold a bunch of merch, and, we had some bros down at the pool table with a little unhappy face on, but it makes me all the more excited to play, that's for sure.
Plus, we can go beat them up if we have to.
if need be, that, yeah. It should happen. Those bitches had to pay.
Yeah, I remember... this wasn't a show that we played, but it was Every Time I Die Christmas show a couple years ago in Williamsville, New York. And their opener was an AC/DC cover band called Big Balls. And the singer, he said something along the lines like, "Oh my God, look at all this. Look at all these people. I just see a cloud of syphilis roaming over your heads. It's disgusting, but I love it. This song's called Highway to Hell. Come on, baby!" Something like that. And but I was just like, this doesn't work.
Ironically, they didn't cover Big Balls because they didn't know how to play it.
Yeah, probably. And the guitarist didn't even do the duck walk or anything. How you be AC/DC cover band and not do the signature move of Angus Young?
This is like having Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band without a plane crash.
Yeah, right. Or without playing Freebird. Without playing Freebird. Tsunami, yeah. Yeah, so that's the weirdest opener I've ever seen. Well, at least for the music that was being played. AC/DC is, they're cool, but they don't really fit with the hardcore of Every Time I Die in any way.
Now, one little thing. Anthony's back in the room. Anthony, with what you do, I literally caught him off guard. What is it like with the whole being the road manager? Like, what is the atmosphere like at a show, during the show, before the show, after the show? Stuff like that.
It's fine. Last night was really my first real taste of having to do any of the logistics, getting the merch table in a spot where it makes sense for, the traffic of people, where it's lit up enough. Last night, we had our wonderful sound guy, that was interesting. But he, set up the table in a weird spot, and I just kind of had to work with it. But, you just have to stay organized and be on top of everything. If it looks like the guys are thirsty on stage, go get them something to drink. So
throw a water bottle at them.
Yeah, exactly. Right at the cranium. But last night was really the first taste, and it's more of a, load in and out type thing, and coordinating with, the people who run the venue and things like that. But it's just another day in the life for the most part.
Now, what does the future hold for the band? Everybody?
Well,
you can all shout at once, by the way.
After, you know, after the tour is over, we will unfortunately be, you know, saying our goodbyes for a short period of time, but I'm hoping that once I, you know, make my immediate move to Colorado, that I will be able to continue doing this with these guys. And other than that, you know, they'll be being just as successful, if not more. I've been watching these guys do this for a little while now, and it's really been it's been a beautiful ride. Let's put it that way. Have you heard the
news? Griffin died. All right. Now, before we go, we're going to wrap this episode up. How can people get a hold of you guys on, like, social media, you know, Smoke Signal, whatever works?
Yeah, Smoke Signals work great. We'll come calling, you know. Let's put that spotlight up in the air with our G logo, and we'll come from wherever we are. Thisisgriffin.com is our main website. It has all the links to our social media on there. Facebook.com/thisisgriffin, keeping it very consistent. All of our contact information's up there, booking information. Anything you really need, consult our website, and we will get back to you.
We also have an Instagram at thisisgriffin.
Surprise.
Hashtag Griffin Tour. Hashtag thisisgriffin.
There's also a little puppy that's named Griffin who's pretty cute. But
that is delightfully adorable.
This is Griffin is the band. This is yeah. Tom already gave you all the details. And so there's nothing else I can tell you.
No worries, no worries. Gentlemen, it was an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Fade out. Worn out. Ready? Yeah. Yeah.
Engine burning.
So once again, before we wrap up today's show, let's get to the social media plugs. You can find Move Podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/movepod. You can find us at Twitter at Move Podcast and myself at Peter Melnick. You can find us on Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, both available for all Android and iOS devices. And finally, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And that really wasn't the last final. No, it wasn't. Go to movepod@gmail.com. Well, not go to, but shoot an email to movepod@gmail.com. And let us know what you think of the show. Comments, you know, questions, all that stuff. So, once again, really big thank you to Jason, Corey, and Tom from the band Griffin. Once again, go on their Facebook page, give them a like, and let them know you love their music. I'm Peter Melnick, and what moves you?